Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
Now, here's the thing. Jesus dies for our sins, but he only asks for one little thing out of us. Repent and believe and follow him. That's what he asks for. Turn to God, repent, turn from your sins, believe, put your trust in Jesus, and follow after him. But when I talk about following after him, that's something we really have to understand what he means by that. Jesus says, okay, as I had offered myself for you, I want you to offer yourself to me.
Following Jesus means your relationship with him is a two-way street. Today, Pastor Jim explains that just as Jesus offered himself to you on the cross, he wants you to offer yourself back to him. It's a personal call to stop living for yourself and start matching his sacrifice with a life that's fully surrendered to his leadership. Turning from your sins and putting your trust in Jesus is the starting point, but following him requires you to look a little closer at what that commitment really means. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 8 as he begins his message, The Clear Path to Heaven.
Well, last week we saw the Pharisees, also we call them a lot of times the religious leaders. They challenged the claims of Jesus, and we said that last week that Jesus went on offense. Now, if you're not a sports person, that means your team has the ball, basically, okay? And Jesus has some accusations to make against his accusers, which reminds us of the authority that Jesus has given to him by his Father in heaven. The authority is not only a challenge to the religious leaders, but also to us as well. And for a follower of Jesus, it's a challenge for you. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, we're glad that you're here. Most welcome to be among us. And I just want to say this. You have to remember that today, Jesus is talking to religious leaders who want to kill him. Okay? It doesn't change the message, but the way we talk to people about our faith is very important. You know, we don't want to come off as judgmental people. Just quick show of hands. Any of you sinners? Wow, good, good. At the last service, they were just liars. They didn't raise their hand at all, right? And so we're all sinners. We don't want to act like we're not, right? So we want to, you know, we want to watch our tone. We want to watch the way we approach people. But these guys are the hyper-religious people who think they're better than everybody else, as we've seen in previous passages. Now, it's possible that there's a space of time in between verse 20 and 21 where we're picking up today. Any of you obsessed with time? Any of you obsessed with time? Oh, come on now. You could do better than that. Most of us who are Americans are obsessed with time. The ancients were not as time-obsessed as we are. And Jesus warns the audience and the reader. Don't forget that John's writing for readers. We're the readers. Unless they change their attitude, this is what Jesus is going to say three times. You will die in your sins. You will die in your sins. And here we know the man known as Jesus of Nazareth, to them, explains his identity being sent forth from heaven and the urgency of the human condition and why it needs to be changed. So for the next few weeks, the authority of Jesus, our discipleship, a disciple is simply a learner and follower of Jesus, and Jesus as judge will be evident. And it's important to remember that Jesus is a long way from home. He's teaching in the temple, in the place where the religious leaders, you know, rule the roost, and he's going to really lay into these guys. Last week, Jesus rocked the audience, and he said this, John 8, the second half of the verse, he says, I am the light of the world. Say, I am, which is a claim of deity, the light of the world. I am is what he said to Moses was his name. I am the light of the world. He who follows me, don't miss that. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. In other words, if you're not following Jesus, he's saying you walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We said this last week, that in John's gospel, if you know God, you know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you know God. Anything else is unbelief. And so John is very clear at that, and Jesus is going to make some very clear claims today. So today, Jesus is going to do two things, basically. He's going to make a big point, and then Jesus is going to be asked a question. Now, a lot of people take this passage as very negative, as I said earlier. A lot of pastors don't even preach on it. So I want to turn it, if I can, flip it into a bit of a positive on it, although it's really difficult. But he does really do something, and I've entitled today's message, The Clear Path to Heaven. The Clear Path to Heaven. So the first thing, Jesus' big point. You ready? Strap in. You will die in your sins. That's what he's going to say to the religious leaders. Now, do you think they're going to be happy to hear that? No. They're the celebrities. They're the guys, you know, don't you want to be like them when you grow up and that kind of stuff. And they are people who they rule the roost of the country. They're not only the religious leaders, but they're also really the government, if you will. And let's look at verse 21. We're going to read it twice. Some of our verses we have to read twice today. Then Jesus said to them again, I am going away and you will seek me and will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. Okay, let's go slowly. Then Jesus said to them again, I am not the same as the ego in me, a little different, but it is a hint of deity, or a hint of that he is God. I am going away, and you will seek me, or you will look for me, and here comes the warning. And some verses say, you will die in your sin. Now, that sin is, the word is singular, okay? There's no S on the end. Verse 24, we'll see it's a plural word. Where I go, or where I'm going, you cannot come. So now Jesus turns to his departure back to heaven after the cross and the resurrection. And do you notice what he did here, okay? Okay, he says, I'm going away, okay? You're not going to be able to come with me, okay? What is he doing? He's defeating the idea that everyone goes to heaven. Do you know a lot of people who think that everyone goes to heaven? We all know people like that. Well, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person, right? Now, you're nice people, right? People tell you you're good people. You go, that's nice, that's nice. I go, okay, what do you do that's so good? And they're like, well, I'm just good, right? And that's, you know, that's the way a lot of people are. Now, this is the third time that Jesus says he's going away, but this time it comes with a very serious warning. Listen to what he says. You will die in your sin. Do you want that? I mean, really, I don't think people really think about that. And that's how serious Jesus is in this particular section. Now, Bible scholars debate what that means. Does that mean that you will die in the state of your sin? Will you die because of your sin or because you rejected Jesus? I think I go towards the last one here, but you know, you can think something different. That's okay. So here the Savior, who will be a final judge, looks right in the eyes of the religious leaders, and what does he say to them? You are not going to make it to heaven. How do you think they're feeling right about now? Yeah, they're like, we're going to kill this guy. What are we waiting for? Like, what are we waiting for? I mean, does anybody have a sword? Like, really? They're just like, this guy has got to go. Now, this takes us back to the darkness of verse 12, which they walk in and will continue to walk without the light of Jesus Christ. Now, generally, we see in the Bible, when the good news is preached, there's a variety of reactions. Some people just leave. They just leave. They're like, I don't want to hear this stuff. And we experience that here as a church. And if you're honest with people, a lot of people are like, I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't want to believe that at all. Sometimes Jesus leaves. He's just like, these people don't seem to be interested. Let's move on to the next town, guys. Let's go. Other times, people come to faith and start to follow Jesus. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, can I be honest with you? When I'm working all week on the message, I do it in little chunks here and there. Then there's one large part, but that's what I pray for you. I pray that even if you've been coming here for weeks or months or years, or this is your first time, that you would put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what we want for you. So Jesus is very clear to the religious leaders. And this is a very serious warning. You will die unforgiven in unbelief. Unforgiven in unbelief. And, you know, that's why sometimes people meet me and they find out that I'm a pastor and they're just like, oh, I didn't know. You know, and I'm just like, no, I'm just a dude, right? They're like, what do you mean, just a dude? I go, just a dude. Which part of that's confusing, right? You know, it's just, you just, they have this high esteem. I mean, there is a respect for the office. You should have a respect for the office. People always say to me, what should I call you? I go, I don't care what you call me. You know, the older people call me Pastor Jim. The younger people call me Jimbo, right? And I don't care what it is. But I would say, but when you talk about me, you should call me Pastor Jim. Because what are you doing? You're giving respect to the office, right? That God has given me, which I take very, very seriously. I may not seem like I always do, but I do. Now, this may sound harsh, but what is Jesus doing here? These guys want to do what? They want to kill him. They've been plotting. We've been seeing it as we've been going through the Gospel of John. They've been plotting to kill him. They want to kill him. And what is he doing him? He's telling them how to get to heaven. He's telling them, call, as the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Now, we sometimes meet people in our lives and they insult us a little and we want nothing to do with them, right? And here's Jesus talking to people who want to kill him. And he's like, let me tell you how to make it to heaven. Let me tell you how to come to my house, right? What a difference, huh? I tell you, every week I'm just more and more amazed at Jesus, right? And so he's telling them, okay, if you want, I'll take you there. I will offer myself on the cross. And he basically says this. Then now here's the thing. Jesus dies for our sins, but he only asks for one little thing out of us. Repent and believe and follow him. That's what he asked for. Turn to God, repent, turn from your sins, believe, put your trust in Jesus, and follow after him. But when I talk about following after him, that's something we really have to understand what he means by that. Jesus says, okay, as I had offered myself for you, I want you to offer yourself to me. You know, that, I think a lot of times that's missed because a lot of people don't want God to ask anything of them. But he does. We're not nasty about it or anything like that, but it's something we should be aware of, okay? And you say, well, where is that anywhere in the Bible? Here's a very famous verse that a lot of people know. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, the Apostle Paul writes, after Jesus has ascended into heaven, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, okay, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, okay? So we're to present our bodies what? As a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay? Some versions say, which is your true worship, which is your spiritual worship. Let me ask you a challenging question. When you're coming into church in the morning, do you think of that? Do you think of that? Do you think that you're coming in to worship God, to offer yourself, and we do it throughout the whole week too, but you're coming in to worship God and offering yourself, your spiritual worship to God. Or you're kind of walking in like, you know, when's Pastor Jim going to get up there, man? What's the deal with that, right? Are we really doing that? So that's so very important that part of what, I think that sometimes a lot of people in church world, which is what we call it, by the way, church world, miss that we are offering ourselves to God in worship. In worship. Okay? Did they get it? No. They were confused and spiritually blind. Look at verse 22. So the Jews said, and this is total sarcasm, okay? Will he kill himself? They wish, right? They want him to leave because he says, where you go, you cannot come. Now, again, it's always worth reminding people of this. And, you know, a lot of times we have people listening on the radio and stuff like that, that, again, when we talk about the religious leaders or the term the Jews, usually refers to the religious leaders and the big opponents of Jesus. So what do they mean when they're talking to Jesus? They're basically saying something like this guy is insane. The stuff he's saying is absolutely ridiculous, and this is a 100% insult against Jesus of Nazareth. Now, here's the funny thing. It's not funny. It's John uses a lot of irony, okay? They are planning to kill Jesus, and they are saying, okay, let this guy kill himself and send himself into the darkness. So what is this? The religious leaders think they are going to heaven and Jesus is not. That's what they think. They're hyper-religious people. They think about, however, Jesus, what's John again writes in irony, what's unique is that Jesus will lay down his life for the sheep in God's perfect time. He's not going to kill himself. They're going to kill him, but he's going to allow them or let them to do it. Now, as a side note, I want to talk about something which is not easy to talk about. Some of you in this congregation, and I know it for a fact, some of you in this congregation have experienced suicide in your family. I have spoken with pastors who've called me up and they have said, I'm going to do a funeral on a suicide. Have you ever done them? And I said, I've done several. And they'll say, well, what's that like? And I say, have you ever done one before? And they say, no. I say, you are about to venture into a place where you have never gone before. And they're like, no, I've done plenty of funerals. I go, you did not hear what I said, brother. And most of them think that they're so proud they can do it. And then they call me up after it, and they were like, you were so right. It is so sad. I've done funerals which are so sad where the casket's this big. If you can't see me, you're listening online or something like that, I've done caskets with babies that were born that were not alive, with two-year-olds and stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you, I think a suicide is worse. Because everybody in the audience, you get up there and you're like, I have not been here before. And everybody in the audience is blaming themselves. Everybody. They're like, if I had texted them or if I had reached out to them more, right? I had a kid one time that was in youth group here for years, and he came to me around Thanksgiving, and it was the week before Thanksgiving. He said to me, I want to meet with you. I'm in trouble. And I said, okay, let's meet this week. He goes, no, let's wait till after the holiday. And the day after Thanksgiving, he was gone. And I did his funeral. And you know, when I did those funerals, everybody who came up to me when it was over said this to me: thank you for a very comforting message, but it wasn't really your message. It was the fact that you couldn't stop crying the whole time. It is a devastating thing. And it's in the passage, so that's why I'm talking about it when they mention that. So if you get in that situation, I want to tell you, first off, if you know someone who that has happened to, be very careful and be very kind when you talk to them. And realize this, you cannot fix it. You can't. All you can do is be kind. And the second thing is equally important, or maybe even more so. If you are in the place where you're thinking about that, you need to get help. And if you are like, I'm embarrassed to go talk to anybody else, you come talk to me. And I will love you, and I will care for you as much as I can, and we will try to get you into the right place. Because it is a horrible, horrible thing. All right, we'll move on. Now, I'm dead serious too. I'm dead serious. Verse 23 and 24, we'll read it twice. And he said to them, you are from beneath, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Can we go back to those verses again, guys? And he said to them, watch this. You are from beneath, or you are from below. Now, is he talking about hell? In a bit, he'll talk about earth, but it's hard to say in this point. He goes, I am from above. What is he saying? I'm from heaven. You are of this world. You are of earth. Now, we're all of earth. Are we all from earth? Some of you are not, right? And so he says this, I am not of this world. What is he saying? I'm from heaven. Now again, he's talking to these guys and they're like, who does this guy think he is? Verse 24, therefore I said to you, the second time, this is important. That tells us it's important. You will die in your sins. But now the sins is plural. For if, time out. He is about to tell guys who are trying to kill him how to get to heaven. It's amazing. It's amazing. You think, oh, well, it's too late for me. No. No. Not too late. Wrong. Sorry. You say, who are you to tell me I'm wrong? I don't care. You're wrong. He says, for if you do not believe that I am he. So if you don't believe, you're in trouble. But if you do believe, you are not. If you not believe that I am he, or the one I, some verses say the one I claim to be, you will die in your sins. Second time, third time he says it. So Jesus knows what they're saying. Jesus knows that they're not taking him seriously. So does he back down? No, he keeps going at them, right? He says, we are from two different worlds. Now the term beneath or below generally refers to the world of moral darkness. He goes, you're from the world of moral darkness. And he says, I'm from above. Where am I from? I'm from the realm of God. I came from God's place. And when Jesus says, you are of this world, again, let's be fair. That's all of us. We are all of this world. And we live in a fallen world. We are part of this fallen world. Yet at the end of verse 23, Jesus makes another radical claim. He says, I am not of this world. He's saying, I am from heaven. We go from then in verse 24, goes back to verse 21. He says, you will die in your sins. This time it's plural. But then he says this, which again, this kind of stuff flips me out. He says, for if you do not believe that I am he, I am God, you will die in your sins. But flip that coin over. But he says, if you're willing to believe in me, if you're willing to trust in me, you won't die in your sins. It won't happen to you. That is the clear path to heaven. I know a lot of people would say, well, I resent this. You'll die in your sins. But Jesus says, but I have a solution. It's not like, well, if you're a good person, people go, well, good people go to heaven. Okay, you're nice people. You say, okay, great. I go, define good. And then they'll say, well, I'm a good person. I go, what good things do you do? Oh, I gave $5 at work to a good cause or something like that. I go, oh, heaven must be blown away. Right? I mean, come on. How good is good enough? How good is good enough to stand in front of a holy, perfect God? Really? Really? Do you want to take that chance? Do you want to go in on your goodness, or do you want to ride in on the Jesus wave? I want to ride in on the Jesus wave, right? People say to me, oh, you're a pastor. People must really be, must be very rewarding. I go, it is. It's rewarding and it's heartbreaking. It's both. It's both. And then they're like, well, you must feel really good about yourself. God must be really happy with you. I go, I don't think so. I think he's happy about my faith in Jesus, and that's about it.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.